Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable. Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Last Round Podcast here for a bonus edition live at the Fury Wilder 3 press conference. I'm joined by Gail Falkenthal. I hope I pronounced that right.
You did.
Of Communities Digital News.
Perfect.
You always come up from San Diego. I know you're a San Diego native, and it's up here in Los Angeles. You're always taking the train like we just talked about earlier, just before the start of the press conference. You know, before we kind of jump into your reaction about this... I guess, would you call it strange? Fury Wilder 3 presser.
When was anything between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder not strange?
That's true. That's true. I mean, how? If you had to estimate it, how long was that face-off?
So, from the timers that I've read already on social media, it went between 5 and 6 minutes. Definitely
really?
Over five. I don't think it quite hit the six-minute mark. We have some of our pals on the case trying to find out what the longest recorded face-off is.
Do any face-offs come to mind? Because I was trying to think of one as well, and I can't think of one that was that long.
It's certainly nothing like that.
Right, right.
And who's gonna shut that down? Would you have walked in between those two guys?
Nope.
I'm not doing it. Both of them are a foot and 7 inches, 9 inches taller than I am, so that's not happening.
They're definitely modern-day giants, right?
They are. Yeah, that was a very... an interesting and unusual scenario.
Right.
And watching the psychology of that going on, what are both of them trying to prove by doing that? And I'm sure there will be no shortage of opinions in the next couple of days.
Right. What did you think about Deontay? I mean, like, I kind of expected it coming in that he was going to be obviously a man of very few words, but he literally did not want to talk. His new trainer, Malik Scott, practically did all the talking. What was your reaction to that?
So he made one brief statement, obviously very well thought out, a bit of a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And the MC for the event, Christina Poncher, politely tried to prod him to answer some questions she asked. Malik Scott jumped in, even though she addressed Deontay. And they conferred with each other off mic briefly. He smiled at her. He shook his head. And it was an obvious, no, I'm not going to answer any questions statement.
Right.
And the more I think about it in this sort of immediate aftermath, Tyson Fury is a guy who likes to play tug of war with you. He wants you to grab the other end of that rope and have both of you yank good and hard on both ends. When Deontay Wilder does something like this, he's refusing to pick up the rope. That's probably the most frustrating thing he could have done to Fury. Fury's perfectly capable of filling the space, which he did. He even suggested he play Deontay's role and his own. Nothing stops him down.
Typical fashion.
Typical,
right?
Fury. We got typical Fury today. Typical outfit. Typical demeanor. That's what we want, isn't it? That is exactly what we want. But in thinking about it, you know, Wilder has been heavily, heavily criticized for some of the stuff he said in the last 16 months. Today, he's probably going to get criticized for not saying anything. I don't think this was a bad thing in the long run. We're all interested. We're all curious about it. He said, essentially, the time for talk is over. You know, let's get in the ring and settle this. That's not a bad strategy.
Right. What was your reaction if we rewind a little bit, obviously? They were negotiating. Eddie Hearn was always doing a bunch of press, and Tyson Fury, Top Rank. We all thought, as media, as boxing fans, that we were going to get Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury Unification Heavyweight Championship of the World match. And then here comes Deontay Wilder and gets the arbitration decision. What was your reaction when you heard that news?
My reaction was, aren't you talking to your lawyers? Aren't your lawyers keeping you up to date on what's going on? You know, until a court ruling is rendered, you don't have anything in the bag. They got out way ahead of themselves. You know, and people assume things are going to come down like they think, and when they're wrong, it turns out into a blow-up like we've had here. You know, this was all in play. Little did all of us know that the judge was seriously considering this case in mediation. And he ruled in Wilder's favor, and here we are.
So a lot of the rumblings, especially after that decision was announced, and it looked like, well, obviously we got Wilder Fury 3 here. Do you think that Top Rank possibly knew Tyson Fury? Do you think they knew that this was likely going to happen, and they just kind of let? Because you can see Eddie Hearn in the subsequent interviews to that, he seemed pretty upset, pretty bothered. It seemed like he was doing all the legwork for this whole situation. Do you think Top Rank possibly knew, and they just kind of let it happen?
I'm not much for conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. Maybe they knew right on the eve of it happening. Whoops. We miscalculated. But listen, every one of us who's ever had a job in any kind of business knows sometimes the ball gets dropped. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're looking in the wrong direction and you're not paying attention to all the little I dotting and T crossing that's easy to forget, easy to overlook. Not as interesting. I simply think they grossly miscalculated the importance of this lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And Wilder's got the last laugh.
Right. And it was a very quick turnaround, too. I mean, I'm not sure what the legal details were of did they have to do this third rematch within, like, 60 days? Because it seemed like from one day to the next, oh, wow, the match is like a month and a half out.
You know, I think when we get bad news, if people consider this bad news, sometimes you just lean into it and say, listen, if it's going to happen, if it's inevitable, let's just get it over with. Mm-hmm. And I think that Top Rank in particular said, listen, just let's just get this done. Mm-hmm. Let's get on to the business we want to do. Let's hope that God this doesn't further derail our plans. Let's make the most of it, which they are. But it was a very interesting vibe in the room today.
Absolutely.
It started off almost as if there was a fog on top of this group of media. And a lot of us were together last in Los Angeles for the last news conference these two did, which has been, we were trying to figure it out, 17, 18 months ago.
Just about, yeah.
Not in this exact venue, but this exact crowd, probably double the crowd we had today.
I believe so, yeah.
It was lively. It was crazy. It went on for hours. Mm-hmm. This group were like little fourth grade kids threatened within an inch of their life if they made any noise sitting. Everyone was just very, it was just a very low energy room
right
until Fury came in, which was not unusual. But then we got this interesting piece of theater. And isn't that why we love boxing? Because who expected that?
The theater of
you,
the unexpected,
me?
Right?
No, absolutely not.
I think it's what Jim Lampley says, theater of the unexpected.
It is the theater of the unexpected every time. And, you know, as long as you're expecting the unexpected, you're never disappointed.
Right.
So we'll all walk away with a lot of thinking to do, and everyone's going to have their theories. I think Fury is still carrying on behind us with the media because he's the only game in town.
Right.
Malik Scott is in the building doing some interviews. Mm-hmm. Wilder was taken backstage, and then his team hustled him past the media, chasing him like a paparazzi chasing Princess Diana, and he got out of the building, and that's it.
Yeah, like I said, man, a few words, right? So Anthony Joshua is seemingly on a collision course now that the Tyson Fury fight fell through with Alexander Usyk. Who do you think, so between Wilder Fury 3, and then we have Usyk and AJ obviously potentially happening. Who do you think has the easier time, but who's at more risk to lose? Is it AJ or Fury?
I think AJ has the bigger risk to lose.
Really? Against a smaller Usyk?
I'm going to recalibrate that question. I don't think he's going to lose.
Right.
I think he has the most to lose if he does lose.
Oh, okay, I get you.
Let's say the difference between Fury losing to Wilder, mm-hmm, which I think we get a fourth fight,
right,
and AJ losing to Usyk.
Right.
I think the loss is far worse for Joshua.
Yeah.
Than it is for Fury.
Right.
I think that Fury, that sets up some interesting intrigue. A little bit of revenge, mm-hmm, makes a fourth fight a big, big deal.
Right.
You know, Joshua has already in the past found himself on a bit of shaky ground.
Right.
He's successfully come back from it, but Yeah, I think that gives him the tougher road back. To be clear, I don't think he's at risk of losing. I truly see him as the favorite.
Right.
But as we know, anything can happen. Usyk's a crafty guy, very smart, very well trained. This is his golden opportunity. You know, and we had a guy with far less skill and in far worse shape take Joshua down.
That's true.
As a surprise.
That's true.
And you know, there are a lot of boxing hipsters out there who just want to see Usyk win, right. And he'll give it a good go.
Right.
It's hard. If someone asked me to give up my hard-earned money to bet, I would not bet against Joshua. I wouldn't do it.
What did you think about Usyk's performance against Chisora?
You know, he's a small heavyweight, and he's not a power puncher. He wasn't much of a power puncher at cruiserweight. He certainly is not at heavyweight, especially in the current era of these, you know, massive heavyweights. The two guys we just saw today, you know, these are tall drinks of water, you know. Usyk is always going to have that problem facing these big guys who just have the weight to push their way onto him. So can Kraft overcome that? It's a big ask.
Right.
You know, I think if anyone can do it, it's him, which at least makes the fight interesting.
Right. And then earlier today, just before... I guess we got here. Actually, this morning over here on the West Coast, we had some breaking news that Teofimo Lopez, the unified 135-pound champion, has tested positive for COVID, and his upcoming Triller fight on Triller has been, I think, rescheduled to sometime in August. What was your reaction to that when you heard that?
Just shocking. Just shocking. And on a day for a lot of us here who are really coming out to our first public boxing event on the West Coast in California, and, you know, today is sort of opening day in California.
Right.
You know, mask restrictions are off. A lot of the capacity restrictions are gone. Everybody's sort of throwing off the chains, right?
Yeah.
So how unbelievable it seemed when everything was, in theory, going well to hear this news about the Lopez and Kambosos fight. You know, COVID is still very real. In sport, especially, it's still a concern, which is why he was tested. After all, at least he was caught, and at least it was caught early, you know, not Saturday morning.
Yeah, that would have been even worse.
But not only is this devastating, you know, clearly for Lopez, George Kambosos just, I know he has made comments on social media, he is gutted, but it affects every single fighter on the undercard and their teams who all prepared for this opportunity. And for some of them, it's much bigger stakes in their career. You know, the whole card is off because of this. You know, we may feel like it was Freedom Day in California, but COVID continues. So, you know, the only silver lining for me is gives me more dough to buy the Chavez Jr. Silva fight. So there I am.
I was just about to ask you about that. Chavez Jr. never ends. He keeps coming back.
That man chases me around the universe. I'm not going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. We don't have to go down that road. But he's always in and around boxing.
He's always there. But there's no lack of action this weekend, certainly.
Of course not. No.
And, you know, there is that. You know, there are some very good cards and some excellent fights on deck for Saturday. And now the pie that was being divided up in tiny little slices of attention.
Right.
You know, they all get a little bit of this piece that the Lopez and Kambosos card was going to take.
You know, for Triller, you know, now that obviously we see Showtime coming in and kind of swiping the Paul brothers away from Triller, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
What YouTubers are they going to find now?
I don't know. But it's crazy what's happening. But for Triller, do you think that because Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. have come out and already said that they've had issues with payment from Triller? I mean, do you think I would assume that negatively affects Triller because potential fighters or other celebrities or people who they would like to get on future events are going to hear those words and they're going to say, well, I don't want to do business with you. I mean, do you agree or what do you think?
Well, yeah, that's just not a good way to run your business. my understanding is they got their upfront payments, and it's the back end payments that they still haven't gotten, mm-hmm. which were in theory going to be the majority of the money.
Right.
So you got to be pretty disappointed by anybody who promises you, you know, certain remuneration for what you do mm-hmm. and for the hard work these guys do on the job. You know, then that really stings.
Right.
This wouldn't be the first time in boxing somebody got stiffed on a purse.
Right.
I mean, it happened a lot. It's kind of a sketchy business at times.
Right.
It doesn't help Triller. On the other hand, you know, it's the new bright, shiny object in boxing. It's intriguing to a lot of people. You know, what's this model going to bring to the sport long term? Is it more than a one-off? Curiosity is going to save them right now.
Right.
And there are enough guys without opportunities who, when handed a chance to fight on Triller, are going to say, oh, sure, yeah. The co-main, the undercard with Franchon Cruz de Zern in a unification fight
right.
for women at super middleweight. You know, that was a smart thing for her to grab for. Why wouldn't she take this opportunity? Who else was handing her a paycheck and making her an offer? Nobody.
Right.
So that's what's happened on a lot of the undercards. Mm-hmm. Now, for some of these celebrity fights or the retiree, the legends fights,
right.
again, who else is offering them the opportunity? I mean, where's the competition?
Right.
For a lot of those guys, it's the only game in town.
Yeah.
I tell you what I'd love to know. I would love to know what Bob Arum is saying behind closed doors about hearing that this fight got canceled.
Right.
And I'm sure we'll hear from him eventually.
Right, right. I'm surprised. Well, he got out of here as soon as the press conference was over.
Yeah, he hustled.
I think he kind of knew. He's like, I don't want to take any of these questions. But, I mean, don't you think, and this is just me looking at it from the coverage standpoint, obviously Top Rank has a deal with ESPN. They have their events on ESPN Plus, regular ESPN, linear, and all those platforms. ESPN has, when the Paul brothers or these YouTubers, especially the Paul brothers, when they have been fighting, they give them coverage. There's First Takes, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, they dedicate segments to them. I mean, don't you think that Bob Arum is obviously an old school guy? I feel like he'd be like, I don't want to deal with those kids. But don't you think that if ESPN came to Bob Arum and Top Rank and said, hey, you guys should try to figure out a way to put one of these events on. I feel like ESPN would be the one in agreement, but Bob Arum and Top Rank would kind of be pushing back. What do you think?
You know, if it was me, I might use some of the Top Rank machinery mm-hmm. under another name. Businesses create little subsidiary names for different sidelines of business all the time. Why does it need to be under the Top Rank name?
Right.
Put it under some other entertainment arm created by Top Rank mm-hmm. to do some of these one-offs or entertainment or hybrids. You know, keep it separate, a separate line item, not risking Top Rank's reputation or financial empire.
Right.
If they don't want to get their hands dirty, if that's what it is. But if it's ESPN saying to them, listen, you have the opportunity to do business with us on this. We'll give you first right of refusal.
Right.
And if not, fine. We'll go find somebody else. We'll go find somebody that's in the concert promotion business. They have all the machinery and know-how in place to do this. They bring in somebody who knows how to work with the state commissions if these are going to be sanctioned fights. But if they're not, what do they care?
Right.
Somebody else in that kind of business can do it.
Right.
If I'm Top Rank and I say, well, I'm being handed a money-making opportunity mm-hmm. and I can figure out a way not to besmirch my name and reputation, fine.
Right.
I am not super worked up about these celebrity fights like some people.
Right.
I don't mind them. I don't care if that's your thing.
Right.
If that's what you like to spend money on, it's safe. Nobody's getting hurt and some people are making some dough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all for it. I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to cover it? Do I have to spend my money on it? No. You know, I still have those freedoms in this country to decline.
Right.
And put my money somewhere else. You know, when there was a big fight in Miami the other weekend, I thought, okay, I can spend me some $50.
Right.
Or I can buy a very, very nice dinner for myself with $50. And that's what I decided to do. Do I care if you made a different decision? No, I don't. Right. I really don't.
Right. One more thing before I let you go here, Gayo. And once again, I appreciate your time, as always. Pacquiao Spence, like many of us, Pacquiao at, what, 43, something like that, years old, going up against arguably the best welterweight in the planet right now, in Errol Spence Jr. What do you think about that fight? And what do you think about Manny just, you know, at 42, 43 years old, still fighting these top guys?
Manny Pacquiao, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson, man, they're all pushing back the clock. It's looking good for all of us that are getting older. We're loving it. You know, dare to be great.
Right.
Pacquiao has never been afraid to take a chance on himself.
Right.
And that's why fans are drawn to him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on the brink of becoming the president of his country in the Philippines. To me, that's the crazy thing about this fight, is he's headed on that trajectory and he's going to take a chance and do this.
Right.
Win or lose, he's already won.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's already won. It's going to be a huge boxing weekend. Their fan bases will come out like crazy. I think in this post-COVID era, we're going to see a roaring 20s in the United States, and boxing and sports are going to be part of it.
Right.
So I was dazzled watching him beat Keith Thurman. We were in the arena. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I think he's very capable of the same kind of surprise. I don't think he would have taken on Spence if he didn't see something he liked in the way of his opportunity to either look good or be competitive.
Mm-hmm.
With someone with that experience who's faced that many different kind of fighters, I'll trust his judgment. Now, we might both see him face down on the canvas, like that horrible night.
Right. Oh, yeah.
In, 2012?
Whatever it was. 2012, yeah, that's right.
But you know what? He's a Hall of Fame lock, shoe-in. You know, his legacy is assured. His reputation is unassailable at this point.
Right.
He loses nothing. He makes a lot of money for a lot of people. And, you know, there are a lot of people in his country who count on him. He is a one-man social services agency. He has built so many schools, so many homes, so many hospitals.
Right.
And he'll do it again.
Right.
You know, what could go wrong? Yeah, face down on the canvas.
Right.
But short of that, he's a winner.
Right. He's definitely a once-in-a-lifetime athlete. He really is.
He is. You're right. And you're right to say once-in-a-lifetime athlete, not just boxer, not just combat sports.
Right.
A once-in-a-lifetime athlete. And I think we in the United States especially forget how important these guys are in these smaller countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lifts up a whole country.
Right.
You know, he stardom there, we can't even comprehend what that's like and how proud they are mm-hmm. of his accomplishments.
Right.
You know, we have the luxury of having many accomplished people in this country on all levels with so many things. So I have a lot of respect and admiration for that. Mm-hmm. You know, he brought himself up all by himself.
Right.
So there's a lot to be admired there. Why isn't there a movie about him?
I'm sure there will be eventually.
Yeah, there will be someday.
Absolutely. Well, Gail, you know, after this wild third press conference for...
We're the last ones sitting.
Yeah, we're the last ones.
We're in the middle of a darkened Nova Theater.
Yeah.
Very few people left. The banners are gone. The stage is empty. There's a little bit of equipment. Who's talking behind us? Malik Scott is still carrying on.
He's still going.
Got the last few folks, and we're going to call it a day.
Yeah, once again, Gail, I appreciate it. Before we sign off here, go ahead and let our listeners know where they can find you online on social media.
Well, on Boxing Twitter, which I love and play on, I am at PR Pro San Diego. And my regular column is in Communities Digital News, which is comdiginews.com.
Awesome. Instagram?
Same, PR Pro San Diego.
All across the board, right?
You got it.
Well, once again, Gail, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. This is going to be a bonus episode, obviously, for our listeners. Our regular scheduled episodic episode this week is coming up. We're probably recording tonight or tomorrow, and Mike and I will recap all this week's events and upcoming
and
events.
And the last round is the last round here in the Novo Theater,
right?
Tonight.
It's so fitting.
It is.
It's so fitting. So once again to our guest, Gail Falkenthal of Communities Digital News, thanks again for joining the last round. I'm Danny Z. This is the last round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is the Last Round Podcast.